Hey guys, time for my third and final installment on the series, How to Have a Normal Relationship with a Woman. And of course, I've asserted, despite the clickbaitish title, that cultivating something functional with a woman requires you to be anything but normal. And so far, it's evident that that path isn't just unconventional, it's also quite complicated. So complicated, in fact, that it can make you question the value of that pursuit. Now, by the end of this third part of the series, I am going to assert that it is more than worth the effort, though for reasons that aren't going to be apparent immediately. More on that later. For now, let's recap the first two parts by repeating yet again the idea that this has almost nothing to do with, quote, handling women. It's not about game or other forms of petty manipulation designed for men who don't have the spine for a values-driven life. It is about living in a manner where your values protect you because they preclude you from accepting the wrong kind of woman and the abuse that is certain to come with her. We started the discussion of this way of life with a call to deal with family of origin issues, especially how those issues apply to our relationships with our mothers, and subsequently all women. From there, we moved on to the need to disabuse yourself of romantic love and miscalled chivalry, and to dispense with the sugar and spice illusions we create about women and their nature. In short, I've called upon you to reject many of life's illusions and embark on a path that forces you to deal with reality. I've done my best to stress pragmatism over emotionalism, the idea being that being angry at women for their hypergamous gynocentric nature is about as sensible as women being angry at men for liking tits and ass, or in other words, for men's gynocentric nature. If you don't like the nature of men or women, you can take it up with God, or Darwin as you please. But anger at either as a class is purely irrational. It's the way of feminists, and I've yet to see that sort of thing pay off for men at all. Finally, the dead horse I've beaten the most in this series is the fact that handling all of these issues as a competent adult with agency is on the individual. Participating in relationships is voluntary. So is participating in abusive relationships. And even more brutally, I firmly believe that most every man's story of being ruined by a woman contains a common denominator. At some point, there was a decision to accept abusive treatment and unfair standards. The inevitable ruin that came with it was just the chickens coming home to roost. The choice to stay with and/or be exploited by the wrong woman may be a decision based on ignorance, and it may be a decision made under duress. Usually, it's a choice based on generations of cultural conditioning and a lifetime of socialization, but it was no less a choice. Focusing on that is the difference that makes the difference. Accountability, not victimhood, is the doorway to healing and to freedom. Not to mention the fact that owning our choices without reservation is the only surefire way we have to avoid making the same mistakes again. No victims, just volunteers. Own that, and you own your life. And once you get that, you're left with two possible solutions. One, avoid relationships with women altogether, a completely understandable solution. And then there's the harder road of taking full responsibility for overcoming your own gynocentrism and your culturally inculcated weakness with women. Then taking that strength into a values-centered approach with women that will cull most of them out, but theoretically at least will leave men who operate with a spine with the possibility of a functional relationship. There are not a great many techniques or special tips to be had here. After all, this approach is completely reliant on your values and having the balls to live by them, even if it means you have to watch a woman you're infatuated with gather her shit and walk out without looking back. Functional living is occasionally painful. The cost of freedom is grief. But there are a few tidbits to consider which may be helpful in your taking a shot at training a woman into being capable of a functional relationship. First, take your new insights from sorting your family of origin issues and apply it to looking at her family of origin. What's her relationship with her father like? How does her mother treat her father? Is there chaos in her family or order? Pay close attention to how the family communicates with each other, or, even more importantly, how they don't. The reason for this is simple. Whatever her family is like, she's going to try to recreate that with you. Watch her family very, very carefully and think about that. Also, typically, you'll find that the more physically attractive a woman is, the higher maintenance she's going to be. That doesn't mean that a 5 is half the work of a 10, but you should always keep in mind that very, very attractive women have had men kissing their asses their whole lives. They are used to adulation and deference, and sooner or later, they'll expect that of you. When dealing with a 9 or 10, you can safely assume that constant in the back of her mind is the certainty that she can drop you and have a dozen cucks jumping out of the woodwork, roses in hand, by snapping her fingers. And the fact is, she can. Also, 9s and 10s run higher risk of personality disorders, or at the very least, the traits. Check below for the link to my talk on spotting borderlines. Watch it till you know it by heart. Find out if she can take a no, and find out early. This can be a challenge, especially if you're infatuated and can't imagine saying no to anything where it concerns her. But that's your job here. Find something to say no to, and then stick by it. Do that in the first month or so, and she will tell you right then and there what kind of person she is. Any hint of vindictiveness on her part can be multiplied by 100 after the infatuation wears off. Multiply it by 1,000 as the relationship starts to wind down or when it hits the rocks. Her endearing peccadillos when you're infatuated will become malignancies when things get rough. Vindictiveness is the worst of those things. It's where false allegations come from and all other manner of abuse. This is all part of the master effort on your part. ABS, brothers, always be screening. Your job, should you choose to accept it, is to look for a legit reason to ditch her. Constantly. And to act accordingly when she gives you one. Again, this is a tall order when the chemicals in your brain are turning it into romantic mush, but failing to do it comes with assured consequences. Now, I know at this point all this is sounding harsh, and to be truthful, it is harsh. Not near as harsh, though, as the 10,000 nightmares that can happen if you don't stay on guard. Forming a relationship is supposed to be a fun, exciting time. It's supposed to be about being open to trust and practicing forgiveness for the venial human sins that we are all so capable of committing. And it is about enjoying the positives that relationships can and do bring to life. And if you've chosen well enough, you have a shot at those things, provided you don't lose sight of your values. Oh, and by the way, I'm assuming in all this that you have your own house in order. After all, if your character is lacking, so too will your values be. But I have no advice for men of poor character, except to say that for good reason, men shouldn't trust you any more than they should trust the wrong woman. Now here's the kicker. There's a great deal of value in all of this that has very little to do with women. Defining your values, living by them, sorting out your family of origin issues, rejecting the bullshit of romantic love and chivalry, believing with conviction that you won't be subjected to abuse, that you're not a step and fetch or a servant, screening the people you allow in your life and screening out the ones who don't enrich your life. Bringing your balls and spine with you everywhere you go. All these things will do you a hell of a lot more good than Jordan Peterson telling you to clean up your room, and they will enrich and improve your life beyond measure, whether you ever have another woman again or not. So if you do all this, and the price of it is being alone, you will be less alone than you've ever been in your life. That's what a meaningful relationship with yourself can bring. And of course, that was the entire purpose of all three parts of this series of talks. Matter of fact, that's the entire purpose in my work, top to bottom. Men get lost and wasted in relationships with women because by the time they're old enough to connect with women, they've had any notion of a relationship with themselves beaten out of them by the world they live in. The best thing that working on relationships with women in this way does for men is put them on a path of shedding all the garbage that has been heaped on them from the day they were born. It's a proving ground for red pill life for men. It gives you a way to grow and strengthen that isolation can never give you. If you end up with a functional relationship with a woman you care about, that's great. It's fantastic. But even if you don't, it doesn't matter. In the end, you're the only person that matters in this at all. A stronger, better version of you is worth the effort. And that is it for this talk. As always, I hope you've enjoyed, even if you haven't, and we'll see you next time.